Let's start with Kina Vav. Now I'm skipping the first five Kinas. I just want to thank Mr. Aaron Cohn for bringing us the Kinas. Okay, thank you very much for bringing us all the Kinas.
We have to return because we show these on Thursday.
Of course. Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to get in trouble.
Okay, of course. So the first five Kinas are the Kinas that we recite at night. Echa. First thing is after Ma'ariv, maybe we'll some time doing with the halachas, the Seder Hayoim. At night, everyone knows we have a Ma'ariv, and we lay in Echa. And then right after Echa, we recite five Kinas. And by the way, Kina, the word Kina is used in reference to good morning, Rabbi Wolf. Shalom Aleichem. Good morning, Washington.
Rishat Shalom, Rabbi.
Sorry?
Rishat Shalom.
We recite the word kina. Kina is really used in reference to Megillas Eicha. When Chazal use the word kina or kinois, they are referring to Megillas Eicha. Eicha is the ultimate sefer of kinois. We have taken that term and we have used it for the piyutim that were composed by various great people throughout the ages, mainly Rabbi Elozar HaKalir. He composed, I believe, 21 of the 45 kinois that we recite on Tisha B'Av, Nusach Ashkenaz. Now, what we have in front of us is the kinois of Minog Ashkenaz. There are many other versions of kinois. The Svardim, I'm not familiar with all the different versions. The only thing that I know is that there are a few. There are a few different collections of kinois. The Svardim have their own version. I believe it's more than just one version for the Svardim. There are different collections. I don't know the answer. I don't know. There is a collection of kinois that are unique to Rome. Rome, it's called the Kinos of Rome. And that makes a lot of sense because that was the first stop. That was where the Jews were exiled initially after the Churban Bayis Sheni. That's where a large segment of Jews settled. And they obviously were mesabel on the Churban Bayis Sheni. And they had their own collection over the ages of kinois. And you know, today, if you go listen to these programs, some of these programs, there are so many programs online, a lot of the darshanim, they draw from the kinois, even a lot of the Ashkenaz Rabbanim, they for some reason feel compelled to mention and draw from the kinois of the Svardim and the kinois of Rome. You'll always hear it, the kinois of Rome. And they're very interesting. I never really spend much time on it. Like someone told me, for example, there's a Manishtana. There's another version of kinois where they have a manishtana for the night for Lel Pesach. Just like you have manishtana lezim micholelos, they drew a parallel between Pesach and Tisha B'Av. We all know that the night of the first Seder is the same night, the same day of the week. The day of the week of the first day of Pesach is the same day of the week of Tisha B'Av. So there's obviously a very strong relationship between the two. We all know the famous Kina, Kina Lamed Aleph of Bitseisi Mimitzrayim, Bitseisi Mimushalayim. And just for example, in this other Nusach collection of Kinois, they have a Manishtana. A Manishtana, just like we have a Manishtana on the night of Pesach, they have an elaborate Manishtana. What's the difference between the night of Tisha B'Av and the night of the whole year? So our kinois are the kinois of Nusach Ashkenaz, and we should not get carried away and think that this is where it all starts and ends. This is Ashkenaz, but there are indeed many other versions of kinois. There are traditionally 45 kinois. Okay, that number has become almost a sacred number. I listen to other darshanim, they dwell upon the fact that there are 45 kinois. If you look at the art scroll, you go to the very, very end, they count 46. That's not fair, because Shoimroin is repeated twice. The kin number that they call number 46 is exactly the same as kina 5. exactly the same. The night of Tisha B'Av, when we finish the first four, so what is the fifth? The fifth kina is Shomrayin, is it? There's no kina here, no, that's not kina, I think I made a mistake. Let's see which one is it. Kina. It's a very nice, very beautiful kina, that kina. Shom kina dalit. Kina dalit is the kina that we say at night. And that begins with the word Shomrayin, kina dalit. You turn to the art scroll to kina 46 at the end of the day. Over here, I'm using a different version than yours. Okay, Mem Vav, Kina Dalit. If you look at Kina Mem Vav, the art scroll. Anyone want to say what page it's on?
394.
There, Shomrayin, right? Kina Mem Vav, Kina 46, Shomrayin. That's not fair, because Kina Mem Vav is exactly the same as Kina 4. Okay, so that's not nice. I think if they would be doing the art scroll all over again today, and you know, a lot of things, you know, the second edition, you always realize you made some mistakes. This appears to be a mistake. The number 45 is a sacred number for different reasons. Maybe we'll discuss some of them. And, you know, you can't go call Kina number 4 and Kina number 46 by two different numbers when they are exactly the same. We say this kina at night, and we say this kina at the very end of this. It's the last one. We say it after Elitzion. Elitzion is not the last kina. I mean, Elitzion is we look at it as the last kina, but Shomrayin we say afterwards, and it's one kina, so the grand total is 45. What is the significance of the number 45? So there are different ideas. I'll tell you something new that I came across this year. Some of the older ideas, 45 is, in other words, it's ma. It's the numerical value of ma. Ma nishtana halayla zemikol halaylos. Ma doesn't mean why. It means, I'm a chol, you have a good word for ma?
How different
is this night different than all the nights of the year? Ma nishtana halayla hazemikol. Now you ask your question. It's, wow, look how this night is so different than all the nights of the year. Tisha B'Av, like I said before, in the kina of the Sardin, they have a manishtana. Well, we don't have a manishtana, but we have 45 kinas. And the number 45 is the gematria ma. Many great events in Jewish history happen with the word ma. I didn't prepare now for this idea, so I don't remember the idea. Let me share with you another idea that's new to me. In the Teuchecha, we have a double Teuchecha. Unfortunately, we have Teuchecha in Parashas B'chukosai and a Teuchecha in Parashas Ki Savai. In the Teuchecha of Parashas B'chukosai, Hashem's name does not appear. Not even once. In the Teuchecha of Parshas Kisavai, Yudke Vavke appears 26 times. 26 times Hashem's name appears in the Teuch of Parshas Kisavai. Now, at face value, you would assume that the Teuch of Parshas Kisavai is much harsher. The things that it says in Parshas Kisavai are really are earth-shattering. Yet, the fact that it was said by Moshe Rabbeinu, even though, of course, it was Selpi Ruch HaKodesh, Moshe Rabbeinu injected into the Midas Hadin of the Teuchecha, Hashem's name, 26 times. Now, Yudke Vavke is the Shem of Rachel. We all know that this Shem Elokim is Midas Hadin, and Yudke Vavke is Midas HaRachamim, mercy. In the harshness of Moshe Rabbeinu's Teuchecha, he mentions Hashem's name, Yudke Vavke, 26 times. As if to say that even though at face value it appears that these are curses and there is Musa, and there are horrible things that are going to happen, but you have to have emuna that in the Musa is Hashem's rachan. Yud kei vav kei. Midas harachamim. 26 times. Okay, that's the Teichacha. Let's go to the Zohar HaKadosh. In the Zohar HaKadosh, he mentions this idea. He mentions every so often the number 45. The number 45 is the number that represents Hashem's name. Why is that so? How do you spell Yud, Hashem's name? Yud, and then the letter He, then the letter Vav, and then the letter He. How do you spell the letter Yud? Yud, Vav, Dalet. What is the gematria of Yud, Vav, Dalet? 16. Right? Yud is 10, Vav is 6. No, I'm sorry, 20. It's 20. It's 20. Take every letter of Hashem's name. Don't just give me its numerical value. Calculate its numerical value based on how you spell that letter. The letter Yud, Yud is the 10th letter, so Yud ordinarily represents the number 10. But you can spell the letter Yud. Yud, Vav, Dalet. That's how you pronounce. That's the sound. What's the term for that? Bimiluoy, in its fullness? How do you spell Vav? Vav, Aleph, Vav. That's how you spell Vav. Vav is a vowel. Vav, Aleph, Vav. What is that? 13. How do you spell Hey? Hey, Aleph, Hey. That's how you spell the letter. You spell the letter Hey, Hey. Hey, Aleph. Like, Hey, Aleph is 6.
And Vav also, you have like Vav, Hey, Guamudim, and
The Zohar spells Vav, Vav, Aleph, Vav. That's how he spells it. Vav, Aleph, Vav. So when you add up Yud, Yud, Vav, Dalet, 20, Hey, 6, Hey, Aleph, Vav is 13, Vav, Aleph, Vav, and Hey, Hey, Aleph, 6. What is the sum of Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei? 45. If you take Hashem's name and you don't just use the standard number 26, each letter, take each letter by itself, but rather you take each letter and you spell each letter, and you calculate the numerical value of each letter in its fullness, so the result is, when you add up all the numbers, it is 45. So in other words, Hashem, the mid of Rachamim, is Yud Kei Vav. That is a given. Yud Kei Vav Kei is Rachamim. The numerical value of Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26. In the Teichacha, Moshe Rabbeinu embedded Rachamim in the Teichacha. Zohar says, but there's even a greater form, a greater revelation of Hashem's rachamim in Yud Kei Vav Kei, and that is captured in the number 45. Because don't just look at the number letter Yud as the number 10. Look at Yud in its fullness. Yud Vav Dalet. Spell it Yud, and that has a numerical value of 20. Vav is Vav Aleph Vav. That's 13. Hey, there are two Hays, is 6. Add up the numbers. 20, 13, 6, 6 equals 45. There's Rachamim and there's Rachamim. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum Dechanun. Why do we have two Hashem Hashems? Hashem, why is, from the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim, is there a double Hashem Hashem? There are many answers. Hashem Kodem Achet, Hashem Achra Achet. Not everyone, in fact, learns that the two Shema Shemos are part of the Yud Gimel. They have different calculations, but we typically do. Hashem Psik, Hashem Kel Rachum V'chanun. There's Rachamim, and then there is an intensity of Rachamim. There's a Hashem of Rachma of 26, and then there is even a greater, in a time of great desperation, Hashem is Megala himself with an intensity of Rachamim, Bimiluoy, 45. There are 45 kinos. The kinos appear to be extremely harsh, extremely painful, but we have to have emunah that in the Toichocha, in the Kinos, in the Chorban, there is Rachamim. And each one of the Kinos is another dimension of Hashem's Rachamim b'miluoy. When you learn Parshas Kisava, you're learning the Toichocha, Hashem is there. Where is Hashem in the Toichocha? Hashem is there. Hashem is there in the Toichocha 26 times, the Gematria Yudke Vavke. Yudke Vavke is there 26 times. On Tisha B'Av, Hashem is here even more. At the time of Churban, the Kruvim, miraculously, once again, were looking at each other. At the time of Churban, the intensity of Hashem's Rachamim was manifest. We have to have emunah, of course, to appreciate that. And it's not an accident that there are exactly 45 kinos. The number is a sacred number. There are 45 different dimensions to Hashem's Rachamim on Tisha B'Av.
Okay. You also for 45 are moving the sacred number that we have today? I mean,
what?
Is there any symbolism there to the 45 amudim that we...
What is the 45 amudim?
In the Sefer Torah, when we write, we make 45 amudim, basically.
No, there are 243 amud. What do you mean amud? Which amud?
45 lines, right? How many lines?
48 lines. There are 48 lines. There are 240, in the standard Sefer Torah, there are columns. 245.
Right.
Okay, you want to say the 45? Okay.
No problem.
Okay. Now let's maybe we'll spend more time on this tomorrow. We'll learn less Navi, but let's right away for right now jump to the keenness of the day. The first keen of the day begins with the word Shavas. I told you this before. I saw this sefer. I didn't follow up on this. Is that every keena, especially the keenness that come from the Kalir, the first word of the keena, or maybe sometimes not necessarily the first word or the first. The first expression of the kina captures the entire kina. The kina is an entirety. And it usually refers to a word. The first word of each kina refers to a word in Eicha. And in Eicha, there's an expression that begins with that word. And the entire kina, to a degree, is coming to elaborate upon that theme. What do we mean? The first kina of the day, kina vav, begins with the word shavas. Where is the word shavas found in Megillas Eicha? It's found, I think, in Perikei, where it says shavas misois libi. It has come to an end, the joy of my heart. And what does that mean exactly? So, first thing we have to appreciate is what does it mean misois? Often we use the word mesos, the root of the word mesos, sos, together with the word simcha. Sosain v'simcha, right? Sosain v'simcha. Lagud mes'ora, sosain v'simcha. What is the difference between the word sosain and the word simcha? There are many different ideas. So there are many ideas. But one of the popular ideas that is expressed by different some of the Farshim is Sosan represents a joy that is sensed when you begin a new project, when you come to a moment, a new beginning. Chosen Kala. Okay? What is the expression? Yosis Olaich Elokoyich Kim Sois Chosen Al Kala. Chosen Kala is a new beginning. It's a new beginning. Bris Mila. Sos anochi al imra secha ki moitzei shalol rav. Chazal darsh in that pasuk zumila. La'yudu moitzei oira simcha v'sosan. What is sosan there in the Gemara darsh in sosan zumila bris mila. A mila, baby, 8-year-old baby. Yeah, it's a new beginning. Sosan gemara rav Mordechai. Sosan is joy. It's a simcha of haschala.
You
know,
say he
simcha tu valun. May you as it proves the point. Ki besimcha says when you leave it's besimcha. Uvisasain. Uvishalon tu. So that's a different word then. It's a different word. Sasain typically refers to, if you study all the different examples of where you find the word Sasain, it is used in reference to an event of a new beginning. A child is born. He has become a Yehudi. Bris Mila, a Yisrael. Bris Mila, a new year. Okay, on Rosh Hashanah, it's a new year. He's saying the reference to the new year. Sos anoichi alim rosecha kumotzei shalorav. Rosh Hashanah, it's a new year. Sosan. Simcha is generally used in reference to an accomplishment of the past. Simchas Torah. What do you celebrate on Simchas Torah? I know you'll tell me Chasam Torah, you're starting Bereshis, right? No, it's true, you're starting Bereshis. But the Iker Simcha on Simchas Torah, I'm sorry to say, is you are Messiah, you completed the Torah. You're looking back on the past. You have achieved, you have accomplished something. You've come to the end. Simcha generally is used to describe a joy that comes with completion. Sason is used in reference to a joy that comes with a new beginning. It does not say in Megillas Eicha, Shavas Simchas Libi. It says, Shavas Misois. What did I say? Shavas. Right, no, that's the Kina. That's the Kina. I'm talking about the first word of the Kina. The Messiah is the first word of the Kina is referring to a word in the Megillah, and the entire Kina is coming to elaborate upon that theme. The first word of Kina Vav is the word Shavas. Shavas Suru Meni Shemuni Oivrai. Similarly, that is translated to mean Shavas. It all came to an end. The world came to an end. We were exiled. And as we went into exile, all of our enemies, they said to us, get out of here. Suru meni, go away. Distance yourself from me. Shim'uni oivrai. This is what we heard from the people whom we passed in front of. As we went into exile and we passed different nations, they all said to us, get out of here. Don't even think of coming to us. Don't even think of coming and planning to emigrate into our country. Distance yourself from us. Suru, distance yourself many from us, from me. Shemuni oivrai, did we hear from the people whom we passed in front of. Well, the first word of the Kina is the word Shavas. It all came to an end. Where is the word Shavas? Where is it taken from? It's taken from Megillas Eicha. And what does it say in Eicha? Shavas Misos Libi. It has come to an end, the joy of my heart. Why doesn't it say in Megillas Eicha Shavas Simchas Libi? Why doesn't it say Shavas Simchas Libi? The joy of my heart has come to an end. Why doesn't it say that? So the answer is, because that never came to an end. Just because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, you cannot take away from Klal Yisrael their accomplishments. You can't take away our history. You can't take away the fact that we in Klal Yisrael were makabel the Torah. We were zeichet to Yetzias Mitzrayim. We achieved incredible things. You can't take away from Klal Yisrael their accomplishments. That's not what Tisha B'Av is about. That our accomplishments have been forgotten. Chas v'shalom. The tsar of Tisha B'Av is we have nothing to look forward to. Without a Beis HaMikdash, without a Makom of Hashrash Hashchina, where are we going? What are you looking forward to? You know, on Tisha B'Av, you sit on the floor. A lot of people don't have this attitude. All right, you know, it's hot. I'm tired. It's very uncomfortable to go to Kinois. I'll tolerate it because tonight I have a delicious, sumptuous dinner waiting for me. And it's already Thursday. Shabbos Nachamu is around the corner. Nachamu retreat. So I'll tolerate the discomfort because in a couple of hours, it's time to celebrate. Tomorrow, I'm all packed. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. We're going to the hotel. We're going here. Summer vacation. So no, I'll tolerate the agmas, the discomfort, because I have what to look forward to. The Kalir opens up the kinas and says to everyone sitting at the kinas, guys, you got nothing to look forward to. There's nothing. There's nothing left in life to look forward to. Shavas. Which Shavas? The Shavas of Megillah Seicha. Shavas Misois Libi. Not Shavas Simchas Libi. That never came to an end. Your accomplishments, what you've done in this world, you've brought Hashem Shechina down into this world, you've changed Hashem in this world, that the world is a world which, to a very large degree, is Makir, there's Ribbono Shel Olam. That never goes away. You want to take pride and enjoy the Simchas HaTorah? Go for it. But you know what Tisha B'av is all about? That until you rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, you got nothing to look forward to. Don't think about your Shabbos Nachamu retreat. It's worthless. It's worthless. Shavas Misois Libi. There's nothing to look forward to. Now, I'll prove it to you that this is what it means. This kina is a very interesting kina. Now, we're going to spend time explaining because it's a very important kina. If you look at the third line of every section, as you notice, we have over here the last eight letters of the Aleph Beis. Samach, Ayin, Pei, Tzadi, Kuf, Kei, Reish, Shin, Tov. If you look at each section, there are five lines. There are five lines of each section. There are five lines, and each of the lines begins with a letter. Suru, Sechi, Sakoisa, right? Okay, the last eight letters of the Aleph Beis make an appearance in this kina. Each one of the last eight letters of the Aleph Beis is given five lines. Now, on the third line of each section of these last eight letters appears... There are six lines?
Yeah, there are.
I'm sorry, six. One, two, three, four, five.
Oh, five with the sign.
With the last ones, Kesila Kol Abirai. No, no.
If you look in the article, they're called, the Chaf is called,
Okay, if they're okay. I'm talking about the letter.
The sign.
I don't have the same edition as you, so let me go look at the edition so I can see what you have in front of you. Okay. Okay, there are six lines. I'm sorry. Okay, the first one is not.
The second letter is the Samach.
Well, not necessarily, but it's lined up where it's supposed to be.
Okay, there are six lines. I'm sorry, there are six lines. Right. Okay, the way they line it up, there are six lines. Correct. Okay, the way they line it up, there are six. Okay, my apologies. There are six lines. Now, notice the third line of each section. There is a very interesting word that appears in each one of these sections. On the third line of the first section, if you notice, Sakoisa Mishkan. The word Mishkan is embedded into this line. The second line, the third line, it says Gilgal. Okay, the third section, the third line, it says Shiloi. On the letter Tzadi, on the third line, it says the word Nov. For the letters Kuf, in the third line, it says Givain. Reish, it says the word Be'ivuyach. Ivuyach, which I'll explain to you in a second what that means. And to come to the letter Shin, Devir. Okay, let's just focus on those seven for the moment. What are those seven? Those seven are the seven Mishkonos that Klal Yisrael had in their history. The first Mishkon was the Mishkon of Moshe Rabbeinu. The second was Gilgal. 14 years when Klal Yisrael was engaged in Kibush Luchiluk. The next one was Shiloi for
69
years. The next was Noiv and Givon for a total of 52 years. And the next was the Bayis Rishon, which is called Ivuyecha, the place that Hashem desired, the location where Hashem desired. The next one was the Bayis Sheni, the Devir Kodshoi. Devir is a word that is used reference to the Bayis Sheni. each one over here, you know, these are really mini kinos. And we're not going to do this now. And I don't even know. Like, once upon a time, I spent some time on this. I was able to figure out some of these things. But each section, in essence, is a kino describing the events, the language that is used in each section is drawn from that era of that particular Mishkan. The language that is used in the first six lines where we mention the word Mishkan is language that you can find rooted in the time of the desert, the 40 years in the desert. The language that is used in reference to where it says Gilgal is language that you can find that is used in reference to the first 14 years of conquest and Chiluk and the time of Yehoshua. The language that is used in the next section is language that you will find in Tanakh that was used in reference to Shiloh. And in each section there are really seven mini kinois that are describing the Churban of these seven Mikdoshas. The Mishkan of Moshe came to an end. The Mishkan of Gilgal came to an end. Shiloh came to an end. Noiv came to an end. Givon came to an end. The Bayis Rishon came to an end. The Bayis Sheni came to an end. And what is the common denominator when all of these things come to an end? We have nothing to look forward to. Shavas Misois Libeinu. There's nothing to look forward to. Tefillin. What are tefillin called? What does the word tefillin mean? Tefillin is the plural of tefillah. A single tefillah. You have in front of you we call it the tefillin shel roish. The tefillin shel yad. In Shulchan Aruch it's not called the tefillin shel roish and tefillin shel yad. In Shulchan Aruch it's called the tefillah shel roish. The tefillah shel yad. Tefillin is the Aramaic plural for tefillah. We have the shel yad, the shel roish, so it's tefillin. But each one by itself is called tefillah. The word tefillah means prayer. The tefillin are really a microcosm of the Beis HaMikdash. Ki beisi beis tefillah l'chol ho'anim. The Beis HaMikdash is a mokoim of tefillah. The tefillah shel roish, these are the tefillin, are the objects that we wear when we daven. They go together with tefillah. The tefillin is called a bias. The different vocabulary that is used in describing the tefillin is a bias. It's like a miniature Beis HaMikdash. And what does it say in the Beis? What does it say? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You have to Eis Hashem Elokeach. It represents everything that the Beis HaMikdash represents. What is embedded, what is embossed on the outside of the tefillin shel roish? A double shin. There is a shin on the left and a shin on the right. A shin that has three heads, a shin that has four heads. What do the two shins, when you take the two shins and you put them together, what word does it create? Sos. Sos onoichi al imrosecha kimoitse shalorav. Joy. What is joy? I have something to look forward to. What is the Beis HaMikdash? When the Shekhinah is resting upon Klal Yisrael, we have sos. Sos anochi alim rasecha. We have hope. We have a future. We have something to look forward to. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no sos. When these seven mikdashos were taken away from us for different reasons and different situations, some of them due to circumstances that were worse than others, Shavas Masos Libeinu. Our joy came to an end. Our future, our looking forward to something pleasant, something good came to an end. On Tisha B'Av, you don't wear tefillin. You don't wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av morning. Why? Because the tefillin is a symbol. It is a dogma of the Beis HaMikdash. It's a bias. Ki beisi, beis tefillah l'chol ho'am. It's a dogma of the Beis HaMikdash. And in that dogma of the Beis HaMikdash, there are two shins. It is the joy of Klal Yisrael. Sos anoichi alim rosecha. When there's a Beis HaMikdash, and the Shechina is resting on Klal Yisrael, it's a different life. You always have something to look forward to. There is a joy that fills your neshama of looking forward to take joy in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when there's no Beis HaMikdash, Shavas, it has come to an end. Nisois libein, the joy of our heart. There's nothing to look forward to. The first kina opens up with the word Shavas, to draw our attention to Shavas Nisois libein. And then the kina goes on to describe, to allude to, the seven Bate Mikdoshos that we have had in our history. The Mishkan, Gilgal, Shiloh, Noiv, Givon, Ivu Yecha, the place that Hashem yearned for, the ultimate goal, the Bayis Rishayim, the Mokum Ivu of Hashem, and the Devir Kotcha, the Bayis Sheni. And when these have come to an end, Shavas Mosos Libeinu, there's no longer Sosoi. There is Simcha. You can go and you can rejoice. When Tisha B'Av is over, there's Simcha. You can take joy in your accomplishments. But what's going to be in the future? There's nothing. That is the attitude we have to appreciate. If we really had that attitude, then there would be a Beis HaMikdash rebuilt very quickly. Very quickly. Can't live a life without having what to look forward to. But you have to appreciate what we're missing. Okay, so this is an idea of why we open up with the word Shavas. Now, interestingly, it goes on. There is one more line, and that is, the next one is, Tzif, is the letter Tav. Ki Tom Chakta Bekes Oy Fanech. You, Hashem, you have embedded, you have etched the image of Yaakov Avinu on your Kis Yaakovoid. Toshivam Gemul Ka'oz Chazois Fanecha. Hashem, punish our enemies. Punish them. Gemul. I when Chazois Panecha, when you appear to us, then it is Tirdef Salmon Yoatse Al Tzifunecha. It would appear that there's an eighth Mishkan. If you follow this theme, that there are seven, what is then the letter Tav? In the letter Tav, there is one more. Tzifunecha. What is Tzifunecha? So that appears to be the code word for the parallel to all of the other words. So you can say one of two things. Either you can say the word Tzifunecha refers to...
That's hidden in the future.
Exactly. Like the Haggadah, Tzofon, what's hidden away. This is alluding to the eighth Mikdash that is yet to be built. And indeed, the vocabulary... Okay, indeed, the vocabulary over here that surrounds it is referring to Yemos HaMashiach, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish our enemies, when we're going to have a revelation, you will bring to Litzalmoin these different expressions, you're going to punish our enemies. And this indeed will take place at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rebuild the next Beis HaMikdash, number 8, which here we are describing with the term Tzifunecha, which is the Tzofen L'Asalove. That's one approach. Or, over the years, I sort of like changed my mind, changed my attitude, is that we're not really even returning over here, we're not referring to the Beis HaMikdash, we're referring to that will be built. The word Tzifunecha refers to the Mikdash Me'at, V'ohi Lohem L'Mikdash Me'at. And throughout the Golas, the last 1,953 years, the world has been blessed with Bate Mikdoshos all over the world. And in these Bate Mikdoshos, Hashem Shechina is Tzofon. Until Hashem, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it's not the Pshat that Hashem took his Shechina and it went back to Shemayim and it's gone. Hashem only gives. There's a rule in Shemayim. Hashem gives, he doesn't take. If Hashem sends down to this world a Shefa of Kedusha, he doesn't take it back. Oh, but the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So you know what that means? It means that the sanctity of this Makom HaMikdash was just redistributed in little bits and pieces all over the world. And from the one Beis HaMikdash became V'onhi Lohem LeMikdash Me'at. A little here, a little there, a little there. There are Bati Mikdashos in Poland and in Germany, in France, in Spain, and America. And all over the world. A Mikdash Me'at. It is Tzofun. At the Pesach Seder, what do? You break the matzah and you hide it. You don't bring it back to the matzah baking factory. When you break the matzah, no, we can't keep it at the table. We're going to wait. We're going to go back on a hike to Shatz and Matzah. We're going to bring back the matzah. You don't do that. You put it away in another room. You hide it somewhere in the house. You put it away somewhere in the house. When Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, He didn't go and take the Shechin and take it back to Shemayim. That's not the minhag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem gives, He doesn't take. It was redistributed all over the world. And in this section, we mourn the Chorban of all of those events in Jewish history where the Mikdash Me'at was destroyed. Kristallnacht. How many shuls were destroyed Kristallnacht? It wasn't just Kristallnacht, also the whole history where Batei Mikdashos, the Mikdash Me'at of Klal Yisrael, was Nechrav. That is the eighth Mikdash that we are referring to. The ninth? The ninth will be the Bayis Shlishi. That will be the Bayis Shlishi. Okay, and what do you want to say? Where do you find the Bayis Shlishi? The last, you can see the last section, I don't know, the last section is not from the Aleph base. It's Tovo Yel Tzor Asher Ki Kilonu Levoi Chamas Bechema Nihalanu.
It's the author's name.
It's very good, that's correct. Elazar. Elazar, good, I didn't even know that. Elazar is the author's name. Okay, the acrostic. Ad Lach Lach, unless you want to say the word V'chavor. If you want to say it's the Chibur of all of the Nitzotzes. The Bayis Shlishi, Chazal said that when the Bayis Shlishi will come, what's going to happen? All of the Bati Kinyasis, the Bati Midrashos throughout the entire world will be brought to Eretz Yisrael. There will be a chibur, chavor. Let's try to say drush here. Is that in the last paragraph is number 9. And the code word in the last paragraph in the acrostic of Elazar, Elazar HaKalir, is the word chavor. Miloshin chibur. La'asalavai. All of the Bati Kinyasis, Bati Midrashos throughout the entire world will be relocated in Eretz Yisrael. That is the Bayis Shlishi. The Bayis Shlishi is the chibur of the Nitzotzos of all of the Bati Mikdashos, the Mikdash Ma'at of the entire world as they're all reconstituted back into the Bayis Shlishi. Every Beis Medrash, Beis Knesses in Klal Yisrael has been given for refurbishing. From the Bayis Sheni, the Bayis Rishon, until it's reconstituted once again into the Bayis Shlishi. Okay, so that's pretty much in a nutshell. There's obviously that each one, which really would be a really good project to do, and this would take a real enormous amount of effort and research. But I have no doubt it is MS is to take each section and look at the code word Nov and study every single medrash. Every single pasuk, every maimah chazal that relates, let's say that relates to that era, and see how the vocabulary of that section, of that section is describing that era. We're describing here basically 8 eras of Jewish history. Mishkan, Gilgal, very exciting time, even though it was only 14 years, it was a very exciting time. It was the kibush and chiluk haaretz. Shiloh, 369 years, that's a long time. Okay, Noiv Givon is a tragic time. David HaMelech, David was the Shol, he murdered the Kohanim of Noiv. Givon, what happened in Givon? Not so clear what happened in Givon. The Bayis Rishon, Shlomo HaMelech, glorious golden age of Jewish history. Bayis Sheni was a difficult time. The last 1,900 And 53 years is rooted, according to what I'm trying to suggest, in Tzifu Necha, where all of the Nitzitzais, the sparks of the Bayis Sheni, have been positioned. And Yitaka see some of the vocabulary of the rishus of the Umay Sa'ilam, of what they have done to us in this last 1,953 years. The Nazis, Yimach Shemam Yisachram, the Tsars of Russia, Spain, Inquisition, expulsions, pogroms, horrible things, crusades, Khmelnytsky massacres, that's all rooted in the letter Tav, in the six lines of the letter Tav. Okay, I'm freezing cold, how about you? Are you cold?
Yeah.
You know it's cold here? Yeah. 1 degree.
So talking about the periods of history.
When we go to shul, we have like 3-4 minutes for each parent.
It's impossible.
We don't understand what.
It's impossible.
I know Hebrew a little bit.
It's impossible.
I don't understand what I'm saying.
It's impossible. It's impossible.
So I just say words.
If you don't prepare weeks in advance,
it's
impossible.
No way.
Impossible. Now, the truth is, I want to take it back a little bit.
Right.
The truth is, you really aren't all that many ones that are impossible. There are 45 kinos. Half of them, really, honestly, are very easy. 50% of them, you can just on the spot. There are, see the Kadin, even the one about Zohar Shosh Tzar Bifinim. 50% of them, I mean, you can study each one forever. I mean, no one's taking away the fact that you can take the easiest one and you can spend the whole life on. But 50% of them are really, really easy. It's not so hard. The other 50%, this is impossible. Impossible. Okay, the next one is not so hard, you should know. But
okay,
as you go through...
Thank you, as I was preparing to say. So going to the fact that this, you know, different periods in our history, you know, different periods when we had the base of English, you know, Shilo, no, here, give a complaint. And then the sixth paragraph could represent the period of time where it says the word Salmon al Tzvaynecha. In other words, the period, the long period of August that we're in. So that's representing the time of history, our long period of Salmon. There's another word over there.
Selmovis.
Selmovis. On the fact that we're looking forward, suffering that we're looking forward.
It is a time that we're looking forward.
That's that period of history.
We were looking
which
forward.
Ran down that long period of history.
Very good.
And then the next period is after when they will the bias, the next bias.
That's the last one, correct. I want to make just an observation. Okay, the numbers don't work out, but if you add up the time, okay, everybody say, please. If you add up the time. How many years? Add up the numbers of all of these tekufas. 40 years. We have mathematicians here. Easy enough. 40 of the Mishkan. Gilgal is how many years? 14. Shiloh 369. Noiv and Givon together, I believe, is 52. That's what I have written down in my notes. I have a contradiction. One place I wrote down 57, one place 52. I think the place that's accurate is 52. 52 years. You have to make really find out. I think it's 52. The Bayis Rishon, it's a fact, is 410. Bayis Sheni is 420. Add up those numbers. What do you get? 1,305. If you add up 40, 14, 369, 52, 410, 420. We're not counting Tzifu Necha because that's unended. That's not defined. That's an unknown number. 1,305. This kina works with the last eight letters of the aleph base. Samach, 60 plus 70 plus 80 plus 90 plus 100 plus 200 plus 300 plus tav, even though tav we're not counting that number, but plus this aleph base letters, tav 400 equals 1,300. Haloi davar? Okay, it's off by five. Okay, it can't be perfect. But it's curious, why do we dwell upon the last eight letters of the... I'll tell you the pshat in a second, why we do that. I have over here the book. But why do we dwell on the last eight letters of the Aleph Beis? Well, in the Kina openly mentions the seven mikdashes. And the span of time in years that we have on record in Tanakh of the time of the seven mikdashos is 1,300 and change, and five. Add up the numbers. If you want to say it was 57 years, then it'll be 11. But I think it's 1,360. We start with Samach. Shava suru many shimut. Samach ayin pei tzadi kuf rei shin tav. 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 1,300. Haloi davar. Is that part of the calculations why we focused on these letters? It was broken down into these letters to enhance our discussion of these tikufas. That's a drush. Now let me tell you the real pshat. Right, it's the end of the Aleph Beis. Why do we start with the end, with the letter Samach? Go to Pei. Let's start with Pei. Let's start with Ayin. Well, let's go back. Let's start with Nun. Why Dafka are we starting with the letter Samach? All right, whatever. Soyvech Hashem l'chol ha'noflim. Okay. I just gave an observation. The numbers add up to 1,300. We here dwell upon the seven mikdashos, and in the numbers that we know of, it is about 1,300. It's not exact, okay? But haloi davar, is there something to be mentioned, to be said about that? Now let me tell you the real pshat. Now I have here what is called, this is like mamish, shal ne'olecha mi'al raglecha, ki'amokar ma'ashat o'ayimil olav ad mas kodesh. This is the Goldschmidt, it's called, in the world of, you know, the elite scholars, the Goldschmidt edition of the Kinas. Okay, this is sacred. It only costs $10. Before they reprinted it, someone wanted to charge me $100 for it. I'm not paying $100, I was a collector. Oh, you want the gold? $100. No way. I then walked into Eichel's and they had it for $10. $10, okay? So what is the Goldschmidt? This is called the Goldschmidt edition. This is mamish sacred. He was probably the first, Hakinois Letisha B'Av. This was probably the first in contemporary time, modern time, contemporary times. Okay, he, tremendous Talmud Chacham, Daniel Goldschmidt. When was this published? It was published in 1972. Tovshin Lamid Beis. Okay, 1972. Not all that long ago. If I'm not mistaken, he was the first person in, I don't know what we want to say, in modern times, contemporary times, long before Art Scroll, long before, there's another English translation, something from England. Sincino, what was the name of the Machaber? Very Choshev, also very Choshev. Before him, he was the first one to take the Kinois and to retypeset it and to provide an incredible, short, but phenomenal commentary. Phenomenal. And Marimokoimois, every single expression, where did the Python, the Kalir, extracted from in Tanakh and put together the Kinos, and he's probably maybe the first one to put numbers It could be he invented this concept, which we take for granted today, a number system, but a different number system. Today, today, Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael is thriving. Torah Anytime is having live, I think probably by now up to 40 live programs. You can sit and turn the channels the whole day. Okay, and they're featuring like 20 of the Choshur Rabbanim giving kinas. And everyone, I guarantee you, of these 20 Choshur Rabbanim, world famous Rabbanim all over the world, who are giving kinas live, and you can sit and watch their kinas, they will refer to every kina by a number. How much you want to make a bet? They will refer, we're now doing kina 31. We're now doing kina 42. They're going to use a number. And which number they're going to use? They're going to use the art scroll number. Art scroll won the day. They won. I don't know the relationship between art scroll and the Goldschmidt edition, but the Daniel Goldschmidt, I think he's the one, if I'm not mistaken, invented the fact, why don't we refer to the kinois by number? Wouldn't that be convenient? Problem is, his order of the kinois is not the order, for some reason, that is the same as the art scroll. So when you say the number kina, you know,
they used to have
this edition, today they gave up on that. Years ago, they're using this edition's kina number 15, using this one, they gave up. Our scroll won the day. But he invented a lot of things, and his commentary is second to none. It's the real deal. It's short, it's concise. The Marma Koymais are without a computer. He doesn't have a computer. He didn't have a computer to do this, to take every single expression and tell you where in Tanakh this expression is found. I mean, it's mind-boggling. And the commentary, he knows everything. So you see when you read a comment from him, it's different. It's not like, you know, you're reading a comment from, you know, someone who just, you know, plays around with Eitz HaChochma and makes believe he knows what he's talking about and really knows nothing. This is the real deal. Okay, this is sacred. And one of the things that's sacred about this is shocking, why couldn't Arsko, they couldn't find two more pieces of paper to do this, is to give you the beginning of Kinevav. I don't understand what Arsko, where are you coming from? Where is the beginning of Kinevav begins with the letter Samach? Why? What happened to the letter Aleph and Beis and Gimel and Dalet and Hey and Vav? Where did they go? Well, this kina is only the second half of the kina. The first 14 letters of the kina appear in what we would call today a krevats. Krevats is in the middle of the Shemona Esrei. And in the Goldschmidt edition, very, very proudly, he presents you the beginning of the kina. The first part. So I'll read. How does the kina really begin? The shatz. Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avosein Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yaakov Vokel Hagadol Hagibor Vaneru Hakel Yom Gomel Chazavim Tovim Vekoni Hakol Vezocher Chastei Avos Vigol Vnei Vnei Vman Shmo Biyavam Melech Ezer Moshiach Mogein Zichor Eicha Anu Sifosein Aleph Eicha Aleph Ach, iku pa'amei miroin sha'afosein. Oisi, aleph, 6 lines. That's the beginning. And he goes through over here, they're very difficult. This is really difficult. He has a parish. The aleph, the 6 alephs. And then it ends off.
What's on the third line?
What's on the third line? I never did that. Tenufosein. I once tried. I can't figure it out. I'm sure there must be some deep meaning. It doesn't seem there's any connection. And then it goes through the 6 lines. And then how do you conclude? Zechor ez rocham uge v'goyne name berocham mogein Avraham. Baruch ato Hashem mogein Avraham. And then you go to ato gibar lila mashem mechayim eisim. Before you conclude Baruch ato Hashem mechayim eisim, you do the Beis. Baruch Ato Hashem Mechaye HaMesim. The last line of the kina is B'tal Mechaye HaMesim. Baruch Ato Hashem mechayei hamesim. And then you do ato kodosh. How does it include? Zechor, okav, babeten, v'sikdosh, hokel hakodosh. Baruch ato Hashem, hokel hakodosh. And you go through 14 brachos. Now the Shemoneh Esrei has 19 blessings, by the way. So what is the last one? The last one, Mishon Miftach Latzadikim. The last one is V'lama Shavu Avim Shavu Machnias. The last one over here is Mishon Miftach Latzadikim. Then you come to, here's the beauty, V'Lirushalayim Ircha Berachamim Toshuv. That's where you stop. That is where you stop. The first 14 brachas takes you to Yerushalayim Ircha. You have to figure out exactly how we think, how we go weiter, how we Yerushalayim Ircha is where we can't even go weiter. We come to Yerushalayim, we break down. We break down. Can't even continue. And we have to wait to be mashlim after we finish Kriyas HaTorah with Yirmiyah. There's a very subtle message over here. The fact that we break up the Kina from the 14 letters of the Aleph Beis going all the way until Baruch Ato Hashem Bonei, until Bonei Yerushalayim, and the last eight, what does it do in essence? It tells you in tremendous Chiddush. Is our kinos tefillah? When you say kinos, are you davening? How do you look? What's your frame of mind when you say kinos? Do you feel like you're davening to Hashem? Or you just, you know, I'm going to a program today. I'm going to a program, I'm going for entertainment. You know, it's a chaval. I can't stand when these people, they come to these programs on Tisha B'Av and they say jokes. It echoes me. I once told one of the people there, what are you doing over here? This is a comedy show here. How much a comedy show? It's Tisha B'Av. It's not a time to make jokes. Okay, so some people, you know, the jokes, you know, maybe the very end of the day. End of the day, no mamash, all the day, you know, a little different mood. But in the morning, this is not a time for jokes. No jokes here. It's serious stuff. When you come to say kinos, really, what is your friend? Are you oimei lefnei hamelach? Are you davening? Or are you, you know, reflecting? I'm saying some poetry. Poetry, you know? We're going to study Bialik. We're going to study the beauty of the piyuta. What are we doing over here? The very fact that the first half of this kina is a chelek of the Shemoneh Esrei. And when you daven Shemoneh Esrei, this is no nonsense. When you daven Shemoneh Esrei, you are oimed lifnei hamelech. It is, and then we're in the middle of the, you can't stop in the middle of the Aleph Beis. And now we're mamshich. It signifies kinois is a chelik of tefillah. Kinois is not just a reflection and a study of poetry. Kinois is a chelik of the nusach hatefillah. You're being mamshich in the amida of the Shemoneh Esrei. That's the message how you start out the kinos. You should have the same ema of yira upachad as you continue to say the kinos, like you have when you were saying the Shemoneh Esrei, because you're just finishing off. All right, to be continued, Yirtzeh Hashem, tomorrow. I'm going to go to the next one.
יום לפני החג צריכים לעשות את זה.
Yours is missing because your name is not on it.
What's missing?
No, I'm saying.
Tehillim? I'm sure it's here somewhere.
No, but I want to say. But I just want to say something also. But we left one over. But it's.
Oh, it's in the Bible.
I didn't see it.
Someone's
going to
come
and steal
them. They didn't steal the computer yet, Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara.
No, you do. You had to talk about it.
What?
Now you gave Ayin Hara.
Chas v'shalom.
Listen.
Now you know
what I like to do. I'm going to live
miserably.
Yeah, okay. Join the
club. Join the club.
Listen.
I'm going to leave some of them over here.
What do you want to say?
Leave them all here.
No, I don't want to.
At the end, everything's good. It's not good. It's not the end.
Years ago.
No.
That
That's not a Jewish approach.
That's the rabbi. He's the rabbi. Okay?
Yeah, right. That's not the Jewish
approach. In other words, not, so go tell the rabbi. He's the rabbi. I'm not the rabbi.
Yeah. All right. I didn't read the article yet, but I have a copy of it. Read it.
Which article?
This one right over here.
Oh, Ephraim? To Ephraim?
I didn't put it there. Someone else put it there.
Ephraim, who put this here?
I don't know who put it there.
I want to know. Someone's trying to...
I don't know who put it there. It was there this morning when I got here.